Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me by my pure life. And I should want my life to be pure, just like Jesus' life was pure. So many today, unfortunately, think that just the opposite is true. That is, that you are not someone or something, or you just haven't lived life, unless you go out and sin it up. Well, that's not what Jesus did. He didn't live his life that way. In fact, just the opposite. Jesus' life was one that was characterized by sinlessness. Oh, that didn't mean that Jesus didn't know how to have a good time. He certainly did. He involved himself with people. He got to know others. He went to dinner parties on occasion where people were gathering together. But he did not let sin touch his life. And we ought to live the same way. Now, we are not perfect. We do sin and fall short of the glory of God. But we've got to make the effort to live in that way. Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. And we need to let Jesus' purity become our purity. In 1 John 3 and verse 3, John wrote, "And every person that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." Purifies himself. We need to purify ourselves and not let impure things come into our lives. Why is that? Why should we not sin it up as so many people in the world want to? Because the Bible says that we are the temple of God. And God dwells in us as Christians. And to go out and commit sin is an offense to God. It hurts God. It creates grief for God. And we are not supposed to grieve the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 16 says, "No, do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Yes, every Christian has God living in him. And so, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. We've got to live our lives like Jesus lived, in a pure and holy way. And so, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me by my pure life. But then secondly, let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me by my pure speech. Look at this other stanza, the second stanza. When somebody has been so unkind to you, some words spoken that pierces you through and through, think how he was beguiled, spat upon, and reviled. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. Yes, there are times in our lives when others are going to hurl words of insult at us and say things that are unkind and hurt our feelings. Pierce us through and through, it says. How will we respond to that? How did Jesus respond to it? 1 Peter 2 and verse 22 says, "He did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He didn't respond in the same way to them that they treated him, and we don't have to do that either. Isaiah 53 and verse 9 says that he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. No deceit. That's the way Jesus lived his life. And yes, when others talk about us, the temptation is, well, I'm going to talk about them. When others say something unkind to us, the temptation is, I'm going to say something unkind about them. That's the spirit of revenge, not the spirit of Christ. And so we need to be pure in our speech and let it go beyond just responding to how others speak about us. And be the kind of life and the kind of speech. Let us use the kind of words that would be gracious always to those around us. 1 Peter 2 and verse 1 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. Think about all the different ways that people sin with their lips and the motivations that come to make those sinful words. Malice, guile, that is wanting to practice deceit, hypocrisies, saying something that you are that you're not really. Envy. There's a great source of speaking things that we ought not to say. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4 and verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We want to say things that are going to edify and build up and give grace to those who listen to us. What is grace? It is showing favor and goodness and decency toward others. So if our speech is going to be pure like Jesus' speech was pure, and that means we need to stay away from certain kinds of speech, like telling dirty jokes. Ephesians 5 and verse 4 says, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. There's a question about whether or not I should tell this joke. Then the answer is you should not tell it. We don't want to fall into those categories. We shouldn't engage in gossip, talking about others behind their backs for the sake of tearing them down. Proverbs 26 verses 20 through 23 says, where no wood is, there the fire goes out. So where there is no tale bearer, strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a tale bearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. Dross is good for nothing. It just flakes off. A pot that has dross on it is good for nothing. it's going to fall apart. And that's what we are like when we cause problems through gossiping and talebearing and being contentious and wounding people with words. And we need to put away lying. Oh, I know that the world is fond of lying. The world lies all the time because they think it's good. But the Bible says lying is a sin. Putting away lying, speak every man truth with our neighbor, for we are members of one another. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. And verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. We need to put these things away, not embrace them. Why? Because Jesus lived a pure life. Because Jesus did not respond in kind when others said nasty things about him. Because Jesus always sought to edify and build up. Because Jesus practiced graceful speech in the things that he said. And so when someone has been unkind to us, let's let the beauty of Jesus be seen in us with our pure speech. But look at this third stanza. From the dawn of the morning to close of day, in example, in deed, and in all you say, lay your gifts at his feet. Ever strive to keep sweet. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you. And I look at this stanza and I think, I need to let the beauty of Jesus be seen in me by being a living sacrifice. Lay your gifts at his feet. That's sacrifice. And we need to make those sacrifices in our lives so as to follow Jesus. You know, Jesus made tremendous sacrifices to do what he did, to do the Father's will. He said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Matthew 8 and verse 20. That was a sacrifice that Jesus made. He could have had a soft bed if he wanted one. He could have had a place to live if he'd wanted one. But he didn't want that. He wanted to do the Father's will. He left heaven and came to earth, not to live as a king, not to live even in the middle class, but from poverty to teach us what it means to live for God. And so let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, did not count being on equality with God a thing to be held onto. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant and being made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, Jesus taught us what it meant to be that sacrifice that God wants us to be. And will our lives be characterized by that sacrifice also? We are to be living sacrifices. Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A living sacrifice. What does that mean? That means that as I go through my daily life, that I am thinking about how Jesus would live his life, and I'm making that application to me. That I'm not going to pursue all of the things that the world desires, but rather, I'm going to seek what God desires. And what does that look like? All we need to do is go to the Garden of Gethsemane and listen to Jesus' prayer while he was there when he prayed, not my will, but thine be done. A living sacrifice. Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 16, 24 and 25. Have you ever seen someone who pursued getting things all the time? He pursued life all the time. He wanted to make a life for himself, to make a name for himself, to go out there and be someone. And then ended up in such a miserable state because he never got what he thought he was going to get. And there was always more to pursue, always greater heights to achieve. And they never satisfied. That's what Jesus is talking about. Those who pursue life will lose it. But if we lose our life for his sake, we will find it. I'm going to paraphrase something that C.S. Lewis said one time that's kind of a commentary on this verse. He said something like this: those who seek the earth will not obtain it, but those who seek heaven will get the earth and heaven as well. That's a tremendous thought that goes along with what Jesus said here. How do we make sacrifices within our lives? Well, first of all, we've got to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. If we're not putting God first within our life, we're certainly not in a position to be a living sacrifice. We've got to dig deep and to give from ourselves. Financially, yes, but not only financially. Give of our time, give of our talents, give of our materials. Those in Macedonia were commended by Paul in 2 Corinthians 8 and verses 1 through 3, even though they were deeply impoverished in that area. He said how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yes, and beyond their power, they were willing to give of themselves. And that's what we've got to do. Be willing to give of ourselves. That's where it starts. What does that mean? It means that I look to others, try to see their needs, and try to meet those needs as best I can with the ability that I have. Now, that doesn't always mean that I need to do X, Y, or Z. Sometimes it's the best you can do is to get on your knees and pray for someone. But you can always do that. And then God will give us opportunities to do more as we are looking for them and as we are seeking them and pursuing them. It also means not giving place to the devil and the things that he wants us to do. Being a sacrifice means I'm going to be giving up some things that I might like to do. That worldly party, that event that's going on in the world out there, that place that I should stay away from. Those are sacrifices that we must make in order to live like Christ. Peter wrote about that in 1 Peter 4, verses 3 and 4. He said, "For the time past of our life may suffice us to have done the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." And then he said about the Gentiles, "Wherein they think it strange that you do not run with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you." As Christians, we've got to give all that up so that we can be like Christ. Let the beauty of Jesus be seen in you and in me. How? By living that pure life, by having pure speech, by being a living sacrifice. Maybe someone tonight needs to begin on that road of letting the beauty of Jesus be seen in them. By hearing the word of God and believing it, repenting of sin, confessing Jesus as Lord, and being baptized for the forgiveness of sins, the beauty of Jesus will begin in your life tonight. Or perhaps you need the prayers of the church so that Jesus' beauty can be seen in a greater way in your life. Tonight you have the opportunity to make those requests for prayers or whatever your need may be. If you have a desire to ask for help this evening, we stand ready to help you. While together we stand and while we sing.